The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And we're going to preview all the big sporting action this weekend. I'm joined by Eoin Sheehan from Off the Ball. Hello.
Morning, Claire.
How are you?
Very well.
We're going to start with the rugby, aren't we?
Yes.
We are. So, Scotland won't beat Ireland, surely. I mean, that doesn't happen. It hasn't happened in 16 years in Ireland, I understand. So the likelihood of this happening is, the chances are low, right? We're probably going to win this match.
Well, the last time they won in Lansdowne Road was 1998. The 2010 game was played in Croke Park. So you could bring it back further if you sort of massage the statistics even more favourably in Ireland's favour. The thing for me is that Ireland have won 11 games on the bounce, and there have been staging posts in that run where Scotland have seemed confident, they've seemed like they're in a really good place, and then they tend to fall flat in their face, particularly against Ireland. Ireland are Scotland's bogey team. It's felt that the 2019 World Cup, the 2023 World Cup were defining moments for this era of Scottish rugby. And they played Ireland in both of the pool stages in both of those tournaments, and they got beaten soundly in both of those games. And for me, those were the two really important matches between them. But this, from a Scotland standpoint, is arguably just as important as those two.
Of course it is. And they've had a great run of it, you know. Their tails are up, but ours are too.
They are. And maybe they'll be further alerted by the fact that Scotland feel like Ireland are there for the taking. That's something that Darcy Graham, the Scottish winger, has literally said this week. Yeah. Ireland are there for the taking. Now, there was a lot more context to that quote. He did also say Ireland are a world-class team in that same stream of consciousness. But, you know, rugby folk, they can take one little snippet and they can use it for motivation. So I'd be surprised if it hasn't made its way into the Ireland camp this week, because you don't give free fuel out.
I'm just laughing because I know Craig is on the line listening to all this. I'm trying to troll him. Craig Chalmers is here, former Scotland and British and Irish Lions player. Hi, Craig. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm very well. I think there's been a bit of needle between Scotland and Ireland for the last, ten years or so. There's been quite a lot of needle about Scotland, what they're going to do to Ireland, and they've never done it. And I think the context probably is a bit over the top. But Ireland will try and use maybe Darcy's words as a motivator. They'll probably have it pinned up in the changing room.
Yeah. That is likely. But do you think he's right that Ireland is there for the taking?
Listen, Ireland have had a very similar Six Nations to Scotland. They both started horrendously. Ireland and France, and we lost in Italy. But we've both improved since then. We've got better and better as the tournament's gone on. And Scotland are playing some really good rugby at the moment. We're a little bit lucky in Wales to win that, you know. But you need a little bit of luck sometimes. You've got to win ugly. I'll be honest with you, all the fancy tries and that we've scored against England and against France, you know, I would substitute them for a 9-6 victory tomorrow. I would take that all day long. It's just about winning. It's about winning tomorrow. We've not managed to beat Ireland, and it's not so much the physical, but the physical barrier is a big one for us, because physically we've been bullied by Ireland in probably most of those games that we've lost. And I think it's a mental barrier as well that we've got to get over. We've got to, you know, Ireland are the team that we can't beat. I mean, I played against Ireland 9 times in the 90s. I never lost to Ireland. Never lost a game to Ireland. So, and I was playing in that last game in 1998 at Lansdowne Road, where we kicked two late penalties to win the match. So it's a mental barrier, it's a physical barrier. And if our forwards can, you know, get through that physical barrier and produce some quick ball for our backline, which I think is the best in the world at the moment, I think we can cause Ireland problems. But Ireland will, Ireland are a very good team, and they have been for a number of years now. So they're gonna be wanting this triple crown as well.
There's also been some desperate luck for Scotland in this fixture. You'll remember last year, what was it, within 15, 20 minutes, Finn Russell and Darcy Graham ran into each other, clash of heads, they both have to go off. Sione Tupelotu was injured for that game. Yeah. Straight away, that's three of your best backline in the world gone from that fixture at home in Murrayfield. So we probably have to factor that into proceedings as well when we're talking about the recent rivalry, Craig.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the big problem we've had against Ireland is the physicality up front. And we've been second best on virtually every occasion we've played Ireland in those 11 games that we've lost. And then obviously last week, and I'm not making excuses, but we've lost Scott Cummings and Gregor Brown, two guys who have been playing extremely well for us in the last three games. So they're going to be a big loss for us. But it's up to, you know, this is testing our depth and how, you know, how deep we can go. And you know, we've just got to come out tomorrow and just try and do what we've been doing. But it's this, I went into last week's game against France. I thought we'd beat France last week at Murrayfield. I really did. I think this is the harder game coming to Dublin this week. I just think it's not just the physicality, it's the mental side. They've got to get over. You know, we can all talk about how we're going to beat somebody, what we're going to do. Yes, we can do this, we're going to do that. And Ireland are vulnerable, whatever. Listen, saying it is one thing, doing it is another. And the boys, our boys, have got to go out there and do the business on the pitch, do the talking on the pitch.
Uh-huh. But you do feel tomorrow. That it's possible to eke out a win here for Scotland. I think that's what you're saying.
As I said at the start, yes, and it doesn't have to be fancy rugby. It might be a bit of a brawl, but you know, I worry if it's a bit of a brawl, because I think if it's a brawl, then we might not win that. I think we like it to be open and fast and you know, ball, well, wide channels, you know, stretching teams in the outside channels. And you know, if we can get good quick ball tomorrow, the breakdown's going to be massive as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the two back rows, I mean, the Irish back rows, Lions back row, they're all Lions. Our back row is fantastic. You know, they've been playing great stuff in the last two or three games. So you know, that's another battle tomorrow. There's battles all over the pitch. And you know, if Ireland will be aware of how good Finn Russell is. If he gets a chance to orchestrate that back line, then you know, then we have got a real chance. We have. But if the ball's not coming back quick and the delivery is not great from the set piece, then you know, we might struggle a little bit. But it's a fascinating game, and I'm so looking forward to. But I'm just looking forward to seeing who does win. If Ireland win, you know, they've got to cheer for England after. I'm not sure they'll enjoy doing that. and then we've got to do exactly the same. But if we win, I might just say enjoy the championship, France.
Yeah, listen, you know, whoever wins, we'll all just go out together and enjoy it, right?
Well, listen, that was always the case.
Yeah, always the case.
Always the case in Dublin, down Leeson Street back in the day, Strings or whatever it was called. We used to go there. show my age now. But
Legs, I think.
Well, it was Strings and then it became Legs.
Oh, God, okay. You're going way back now.
I'm an old bugger. So, you know,
Listen, may the best team win. May the best team win, as you say. Scotland and Ireland do tend to remain friends afterwards, regardless of what happens on the pitch. Thanks so much for being with us, Craig. That's Craig Chalmers there. It sounds like it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out game.
Well, I'm just looking at the forecast here. It is going to be dry tomorrow, which maybe will favour the Scots. We'll be hoping for a bit more rain potentially from an Ireland perspective to make it a dirtier game if we're going by that analysis. And I think he's right, to be fair. If it's an open game, free-flowing, and there's 90 points scored in this game like they were scored in Murrayfield last week, Scotland are likely to win. I think it's a big shout saying Scotland have the best backline in the world, but they do have some stellar players back there and they're all fit and ready to go, barring an early head clash this week or this year. They'll all be available for the majority of the game tomorrow. So it is a different prospect to the one that Ireland faced in Murrayfield last year.
And then at the Stade de France, we have, as Craig alluded to, France playing England. That is the evening kickoff. So there's plenty of intrigue there as well. Like, we all know how we expect that to go, given how the tournament has worked so far. What's your take on that match? Yeah,
France should win this game because England have been way worse than France, even in the context of last weekend alone. Like Fabien Galthié, he's made four changes to his side going into this weekend. So a little bit of a shuffling of the deck after Edinburgh. You've actually got Joshua Brennan, who's on the bench for France, who could have played for Ireland. He's obviously played under 20 for his country already. He's made a couple of caps at senior level as well. So he could come in to appear in the Six Nations this weekend against England. England have only made one change. So Steve Borthwick, I don't know.
He's given up, has he?
Stubbornly kind of put his flag in the ground and said, this is how we're going to go. But, or you could say, yes, this is it, you know, this is all I've got. I'm washing my hands of this rubbish bunch of players, this, you know, the deepest player pool in world rugby. I'm washing my hands of them. It would be extraordinary if England were to win this game. And there's always a chance, as we've seen in this year's Six Nations, you can't be sure about any result, but they look insipid at the moment. And France at home as well is a different prospect. They love having the crowd at their back. Like, we were having this conversation on Off the Ball during the week that it seems sometimes that this whole, you know, top 14 trend of French teams going away from home and just kind of throwing a half effort at it seems to infect the national team sometimes, where they go away from home and just don't show up, as happened in Murrayfield last week. So at home in Paris tomorrow night, you'd expect France to get the job done.
Right. Okay. Speaking of managers who might as well throw their hat at it, your man's still in charge at Spurs after that fiasco during the week. What's going on?
Well, the good news is we get to talk about him for another Friday morning here. I'm not sure will he be there. Next week, we'll see. He plays Liverpool away from home. This is, of course, the Tottenham manager, Igor Tudor. And they were hammered by Atletico Madrid on Tuesday night. The big story around this was the young Czech goalkeeper, Antonín Kinský, who was hooked after 17 minutes after making two desperate errors, really.
I'm not over it.
You're not over it on what?
Well, it's the mammy in me. But to see, you know, a 22-year-old walking down into the tunnel in tears like that with, you know, two of his teammates following him down. And then hearing Peter Schmeichel saying he's ruined his career, doing that to him, putting him out unprepared like that. It's just the whole thing was awful. And to see the manager still in place after that, it's not a good scene, I feel.
I don't think you can judge the manager more harshly based on that, is my opinion on it. It was a really, really rough decision for the young goalkeeper. He did make two glaring mistakes in a top-level football game. And there is an expectation on these players. He's 22 years of age. There's an expectation on these players that you should be able to handle that sort of scrutiny on you. The manager made a mistake. He corrected his mistake in the middle of the game. And I think, fair enough, I think Tudor's getting added bullets for this because he's clearly not the right man for this job and he should be sacked. But I don't think he should be sacked for this particular decision. Like, if anybody makes a mistake in life, the first thing they want to do is correct that mistake. And he corrected his mistake when
by taking him off at 17 minutes.
Yeah.
But his mistake was putting him on in the first place.
Yes.
You know,
and then he realised it was an error, so he tried to fix it.
But look, I mean, he is paid to make a judgment call that a player who has only played at Carabao Cup level shouldn't be on that pitch for the Champions League. He shouldn't have made that decision. So if I was paying his wages, the manager's wages, I'd say, you're not up to this. Never mind the 22-year-old. He'll be all right. He'll come good, hopefully, in time. But you are not up to this if you made that call.
Perhaps you can base it on the initial decision. Now, I will say, I've seen Kinský play for Tottenham before. He's always looked like a decent goalkeeper. I think it's fair enough for him to get the opportunity because Vicario hasn't been amazing all season long for Tottenham. Was this the environment to throw in your second-choice goalkeeper? Probably not. But then again, is that not actually lower stakes than the Premier League right now, given the Premier League is a relegation battle that they're facing?
I suppose there's all the other stuff as well. It's the fact they can't win any matches.
That is the big reason why he should lose his job, to be fair. And it seems that the team is getting worse and he's now started to approach the team, other than this decision, with kids' gloves on in terms of the way he's talking about them after the match. Like, he was extremely harsh in his first couple of press conferences, and then he saw last Thursday night after the Crystal Palace game, he toned it down significantly because he realised these players cannot handle the criticism. There was a report in The Athletic yesterday that one teammate has leaked the idea that he's kind of given up trying this season because he's pretty confident he's going to be able to get a move in the summer, even if they get relegated. So that's not good. That's not good when it comes to the mentality of this team. As you say, they go to Anfield this week, but every single Tottenham fixture now is a must-watch game because on Sunday week they're at home to Nottingham Forest, who are also relegation threatened, and they sandwich the return fixture against Atletico Madrid, which is in the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is the worst place for them to go at the moment. Their own fans hate them. Going to Anfield might actually be something of a reprieve.
So what, people are tuning in now for the clown show, essentially?
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's certainly an entertaining aspect to this season. As I've said, I think it would be the most extraordinary relegation story in the history of the Premier League. I think that the money that they have, the fact that they have Champions League football literally this season, and they were in a Champions League final as recently as 2019, for them to be championship, to be playing championship football next season, I don't think we've seen anything like it. Even the Newcastle relegation, the Leeds relegation, not on this level.
And will Kerry bait Mayo?
Well, they'll be hoping to bait Mayo. I'm not sure if young Kobe MacDonald is going to be doing anything to stop that this weekend, because the Mayo under-20s are in action next midweek. So he might be wrapped up in cotton wool for that. Although I'm kind of the opinion now where he's played two games, he's contributed massively to two games. Do you want to win the senior All-Ireland this year or not? The senior team pulls rank on the 20s. We've seen it multiple times. We've seen it with David Clifford. I know Clifford was a year older than Kobe is now when he made his first start with the Kerry seniors. But I'm just thinking, if they beat Kerry this weekend, they're guaranteed to be in a league final. If Andy Moran sees the league final as an important staging post on their journey to potentially winning Sam Maguire this year, then they're going to need to play their best possible team tomorrow night in Tralee. Kobe MacDonald, is part of their best possible team.
Maybe unleash not as a starter. The beast.
Unleash the beast is what I would say. And also, as somebody who's going to the match, I want to see Colby McDonald in the flesh for the first time. So
put him on for Owen, will you? Sort that out for us. Thanks so much, Owen. Owen Shane from Off the Ball.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.